Started. Okay, today's daf is Bechoros daf Mem Ches. We are holding on the top of daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We got all the way through Mem Zayin yesterday. So Mem Ches Amud Aleph, top of the page, new Mishnah. Mishlo Bikri Ishto. If a man is married to a woman and the woman has never given birth before, V'yalda Shnei Zecharim, and she gives birth to two males. Nosin Heislam Lakoin. Even though he doesn't know which one is necessarily the Bechor, because the two boys get confused, the twins get confused, nevertheless, he has to give five slam to the Kohen, because one of them is a Bechor, so he's definitely Chayiv in Pidyon HaBen on account of one of them. Meis Echad Mehen B'toch Shalshim Yom Ha'av Pater. But let's say twin boys are born, he doesn't know which one is the Bechor, and then one of them dies within 30 days of being born, so the father is going to be Pater from Pidyon HaBen, because for all he knows, it was the Bechor that died, and therefore there was never a chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen. Now Rashi points out, even though we say the father is Pater, which carries with it the implication that the surviving child, when he grows up, will be chayiv, that's not what it means at all over here. Over here says Rashi, Ha'av Pater, Dematzi L'memra Bechor Meis, V'hu Adinami L'ben Hanishar De Pater. The surviving son is also going to be Pater. V'hai Lishna Denokat Ha'av Pater Mishum Seifa, Dabar L'misni Meis Ha'av. The reason why we mention Ha'av Pater is because in the Seifa there's going to be a difference between the Av and the Ben. But over here, it's when we say Ha'av Pater, really could have just said Pater. There's going to be no chiv of Pidyon HaBen, because as far as we know, it could be that the Bechor is the one that died. Meis Ha'av Abanim Kayamim. What if the father dies and both the twin boys are still alive? So Meir Omer Im Nasnu Ad Shelo Chilku Nasnu. If they gave the Pidyon HaBen from the undivided estate of their father, so then the Pidyon HaBen is given and it's taken care of, and it's certainly binding. V'imlav Peturin. But if they already divided the estate between the two of them, then each one is going to be Patur, because each one can say, I'm not the Bechor, and therefore I don't owe you any Pidyon HaBen money. If it's from the father's estate, the father owed Pidyon HaBen money, because one of them was a Bechor. But once they divide the estate, each one can claim that they're not the Bechor, and will and therefore doesn't owe any Pidyon HaBen money. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nischayvin Lechasim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the estate became Chayiv, and therefore they have to figure it out amongst themselves to give the Pidyon HaBen money. The two of them should split it or come up with some sort of agreement to pay the Pidyon HaBen money. That's if they're twin boys. What if Zachar and Akeva, the father, a man marries a woman who never had a baby before, and she gives birth to twins, one's a boy, one's a girl, but they don't know which one came out first. Ein kan the kohen klum. Then the kohen can't get anything, no matter what happens, because as far as we know, there is no Bechor at all. Maybe the girl is the older of the two siblings. Now, we said that if the father dies within 30 days, sorry, if one of the sons, in the first case where there are two boys, one of the sons die within 30 days, there's going to be no chiv of Pidyon HaBen, because it's a suffix. And whenever you have a suffix mamon, the rule is always, hamotzi mechaveru lavaraya. You want to get money out of the father, prove that you know who the Bechor is. And short of that, you're not going to be able to get any money out of him. So the Shari Yosher of Shimon Shkop in Sharhei, points out that l'chora that's not so pashut, because every din of Pidyon HaBen really has two elements to it. There's a chiyuv mamon, there's a chiyuv that the father owes the kohen or shevet kohanim a certain amount of money, but there's also a din of being poda, the child, that the child has, if it's not some sort of kedusha, because there's no halacha that's chal on the child of kedusha or anything like that, he's not treated like kohen or anything like that, but there's some inyan at least, there's some chalos din of some sort on this child that requires pidyon. So that's a din in isvahetir, that this child requires pidyon. That's not a din in dinim mamonis. So then it's really difficult. Why by a suffolk pidyon do we pater the father from doing the pidyon as if it's purely a suffolk mamon? I mean, a din we should have said that it counts like a suffolk iser. And we should say suffolk daraisa l'chumra, and you gotta go and do the pidyon because the child requires pidyon. So says Rav Shimon Shkop, what you see from here is the yesod. That any time, that even though we have two elements to the mitzvah of pidyon, they're tali zebazeh. Meaning, this special chalos, the isser v'heter element of pidyon, is completely talui on the dine mamonis element of pidyon. When there's a chiyuv mamoni, then there's also this chalos of a din pidyon. When there's no chiyuv mamoni, then there's no chalos of a din pidyon either. The pidyah is only after you give the kohen the chamish shlaim. And if you never have a chiyuv to give the kohen the chamish shlaim, memela there's no chiyuv pidyon at all. That's Rav Shimon Shkop's. So that he derives from our Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said nischayv nechasim, that the nechasim themselves become chayv, and therefore, if the father dies, even after they divided the sons divide the estate, they still have to give pidyon haben. It's interesting. The Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Simin Shin Hei Seif Yud that a person should not do pidyon haben al yidei shaliach. That a person, the father, should do pidyon haben on his own. And the Mefarshim, the Shulchan Aruch, wonder about this Ramah because we paskin in Gans Shas that Shlucha Shaladim Kamoso Legabe Kolat Torah Kula. We always say you could do things al yidei shaliach. So why should pidyon haben be any different? It's not a mitzvah shabegufo. So why should pidyon haben be any different? Why should we not say Shlucha Shaladim Kamoso? So that's the famous kasha that everyone asks on the Ramah. But the Bir Agrah points out another kasha. He says, forget about shlichus. A person could be poda ben chavero without the das of the father at all. The whole chiv of pidyon, like we just said, is a chiv mamon. It's a chiv to pay money. So you can go and be poda someone else's kid without the das of the father at all. And that's what's muchach from our Mishnah. The Kohen is gover from the chasim, Rabbi Yehuda says. He could be gover from the nechasim. Where's the av in the picture? The av is already dead. And yet you could be gover from the nechasim. So Minchas Chinuch says, no, you can't be poda the ben chavero without the das of the father. You can't prove from the fact that the Kohen is able to be toref lekuchos for the mitzvah of pidyon haben that you can necessarily be po de bal karcho. The fact that a Kohen could go be toref lekuchos, meaning if the father sold all of his possessions and someone else has the properties that used to belong to the father, that could be because there's a din of kofin l'adam l'kayim mitzvah sasei at shetetzi nafsho at shomerotza ani, that a person refused to do a mitzvah so you could force a person to do a mitzvah. So that's a separate din, meaning again, this highlights this dual aspect of pidyon haben, that it's not just a mamonis element, that there's also a mitzvah sasei element. So in terms of the mitzvah sasei element, so you could force a person to do the mitzvah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you can do it that you can do it without his das at all. Anyway, but that's the interesting psak of the Ramah, that dafka you're not allowed to do it, you should not use a shliach for pidyon haben. Another thing that the Rishonim prove from our Mishnah, the Rashba writes in the Tshuva that you see from our Mishnah that the chiv of a father in pidyon haben does not go away when the ben becomes older, when he becomes a bar mitzvah. Normally, when you can't collect from the ben, we force the father to pay the pidyon haben, because over here in the Raya is our Mishnah. We see we're not sure who's the bechor, so you can't collect from the ben because you don't know who the bechor is. Each ben can say I'm not the bechor. In the first case of the Mishnah, where there are twin boys born, one of them is bechor. We don't know which one is the bechor. So what do we say? We collect from the father because he's definitely chayv in pidyon. Ben, one of these is definitely a Bechor. You couldn't collect from the sons, and it sounds like our Mishnah would be talking about even 30 years later you'd be allowed to collect from the father. So you see that the Chiv of the father doesn't go away. Even though when a child gets older, the Chiv may transfer to the child as well, but it doesn't leave the father. The Chiv stays with the father. So the Rashba writes, look, if you know who the Bechor is, so then, and the child grows up, you'd be called for the Ben before you'd be called for the Av. But in this case where you can't collect from the ben for whatever reason, like in our case where there's a safek, well then the chiv of the father is certainly still there. There are other rishonim that disagree with that last point of the Rashba, that you'd collect from the ben when he grows up if you're able to. He says, no, the ikr chiv pidyon haben is always mutal al ha'av. The ben is only secondary if the father can't do it. Even if the ben has grown up already and you're able to collect from the ben, you would still collect from the av first. Okay, let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, we said over here, if the father dies, and the banim are alive, so we had a machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir said it depends whether they divided the estate yet or not. And Rabbi Yehuda says doesn't depend whether they divided the estate yet or not. The estate became chayiv, and therefore the estate has to pay for it. So says Gemara, demis ha'av emas. When exactly did the father die over here? Elim demis la'ach lamed yom. If you want to say that he died after 30 days, meaning after the chayiv was already chal, baham Rameir ki chalku. How could Rav Meir say that if they already divided the estate and there's no chiyuv of pidyon haben, there's definitely a shibud on the nechasim of the father by that point, because by the time he died, he had his entire estate by the time he died, and he was already chayiv, there was already a shibud that was chal in that estate. So why should there ever be a ptur just because the brothers subsequently divided it after he died? Ella de mispetoch lamin yom. Must be he died within 30 days of the birth of his twin boys. Maishna kich. And that's when we say that if they divided the estate already, the brothers have divided the estate already, there's no chiv of pidyon ben according to Rambeir. Well, maishna kichalku da azil gabehari matchile, da azil gabehari matchile. Why is there no chiv of pidyon ben? Because the kohen's going to go to one of the brothers and say, please give me five slime, and he's going to say, sorry, I don't think I'm the Bukhar, my brother's the Bukhar, and he'll go to the other one and he'll say the same thing. Well, guess what? Even if they didn't divide the estate, you could they could still do the same shtick. They could still say, well, I don't think I'm chayv in pidyon ben. The other one could say, I don't think I'm chayv in pidyon ben. And if you look at Rashi, v'hal leka lemeimar detarif nichse mishum aviem, d'ha avlo nischayv klum. And you can't say, no, the Kohen's going to say, I'm taking from this estate, because I know for sure this estate owes me money, because one of you is definitely a Bukhar. No, the father never became chayiv, so there was never a shibud on the estate. So you can't just take from the estate. You have to identify who you're taking from, even if they have not yet divided the estate. El b'shvila banim tarfon, Rashi says, you're obviously taking on account of the sons. Why does the Mishnah then say that if they did not yet divide the estate, that they're going to be chayiv? So the entire question of the Gemara, there are going to be three answers to this question between Amud Aleph and Amud Beis and today's daf. The entire question of this Gemara is only on Shitas Rabbi Meir. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah was that the estate became chayiv. The nechasim are already chayiv, and we're not bothered by that. The shita that bothers us is Reb Meir's. Why should there be a difference whether they divided the estate or they didn't divide the estate? So the Kesef Mishnah writes. Kesef Mishnah writes in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Chaf, that you see from this Lashon of the Gemara, and the second Lashon of the Gemara, right before the Mishnah and Amud Beis, we're going to see the Gemara is bothered by Rabbi Yehuda. But at least from this Lashon of the Gemara, what we see is that the Gemara in the Lashon Rishon assumes that Rabbi Yehuda would be absolutely fine, and you could say that even if the father dies within Shloshim Yom, the Nechasim are Chayiv Mikoach the father. That a father dies within 30 days, then his possessions, his estate already became chayiv, even though he died within 30 days. And when 30 days comes, the chayiv is chal entirely on the nechasim. And he says, the Kesef Mishnah says, that explains the psak of the Rambam. Because the Rambam writes that in Meis Ha'av Toch Shoshim Yom, you're gove the nechasim from the Yorshim, even after they divide the estate, which is Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Lashon Rishon. Because according to the Lashon Rishon, we have no problem with Rabbi Yehuda, and that would be the defining Pesach. The Mari Korkus also says, just like the Kesef Mishnah, and he says, based on Rashi later on, that the whole reason that Tok Shloshim, the Ben, is not Roy for Pidyon HaBen, is because of a Chashash that maybe he's a Nefel. So it would turn out La'achar Shloshim, that we know he's not a Nefel, it's L'mafreya, that the Nechasim already became a Shubud and Pidyon HaBen. I mean, the Chiv is really as soon as the child is born, there's a Chiv of Pidyon HaBen. It's just that we're Choshish, maybe he's a Nefil, so you wait till he survives 30 days. So that's why the Rambam Paskin said, I don't care when the father died. He could have died earlier than 30 days. The Chiv is already Chal on his estate, because the Chiv is Chal immediately, really, once you know later on that the child is in fact not a Nefil. So this entire discussion of the Gemara, in the Rambam's view, is Shalok HaLacha. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. This entire discussion of the Gemara is within Rabbi Meir. So let's see the answers, though. So why should it make a difference whether the brothers divided the estate or didn't divide the estate? Answer number one. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Zosa Mer Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon Shoyi Bi'arachas V'lach Lusada B'Shutfus. Let's say you have two people by the exact same name in a single city, and they both buy a field together. They become Shutfin together in a field. Balchov Gova Osa Mehem. So the Balchov can collect from them, meaning, let's say both of them owe the same guy money. So, one of them owes somebody money. So we don't know which one owes this person money. So he goes to one Yosef ben Shimon. Yosef ben Shimon says, sorry, it must be the other Yosef ben Shimon. He goes to the other one. He says, no, it must have been the first Yosef ben Shimon. So no one's going to pay him. But let's say they get into a partnership and together they buy a field together. So now the Balchov could say, well, I'm taking from this field because one of you... is the one who owes me money, so I will take from your portion of the field. If you're Yosef ben Shimon number one, you're the one that owes me money, so I'm taking your portion of the field. And if it's your friend who owes me the money, so I'm taking his portion of the field. What does it have to do with us? So we hear also by the Rashi points out, over here also the Kohen could take the five Slaim from the joint estate. He could say, look, I don't care how you guys figure this out. I know that this estate, from somewhere in this estate, I am owed money. I'm going to take that money, and you guys can knock each other out and figure out how to deal with it after that. But just like the Shnei Yosef and Shimon, I could take the money that's owed to me. Amar Rava, so Rava said, wait a second, that doesn't work. Michti, nichse debarinish inun arvin bay. The halacha is that properties that belong to somebody are considered like an arev. They're considered like a co-signer on a loan. Meaning, if I borrow money, I owe you cash. I owe you money. If I happen to have properties and I don't have cash, you're allowed to collect from those properties. Why are you allowed to collect from those properties? I never agreed to pay you property. I agreed to pay you cash. No, well, you're allowed to collect from those properties because every property that I own at the time of my loan is considered as if it's a co-signer to cover me in case I can't pay my loan. So the halacha by an arev, by a co-signer, is you first have to try to collect from the person that owes the money himself. It's only if he's unable to pay, then you go to a co-signer. Over here, I have no tevia against the person that owes me the money, because each one can say, I'm not the Bukhar, I don't owe you anything. So how could you go to their arev to collect, which is their property that they jointly own? You can't collect from them. You can't go to the arev first. There's no halacha that you're allowed to go and take from the arev. The Rashi from Masechus Gittin even takes this so far as to ask the kasha, why did Chazal ever have to make a takana that you can't be nifra from the chasam mishubadim b'makom sheyesh b'nei chorin, that I can't go if, let's say, someone sold his property, someone owed me money and has sold his property since then, I'm not allowed to go collect from those properties that have been sold as long as he still has some possessions that are in his possession that he hasn't sold yet. I have to go to those first. Why do you have to make such a takana, a formal takana? It's pashul already, because you can't be nifrim in an arev tchila. The properties that he sold, that's an arev, so it should be pashul. That's the kasha that the Rashba has. I mean, he takes this very literally, that a pashul has a din of an arev, and therefore it doesn't make sense that what Rabbi Yirmiyah is answering, that the reason you're allowed to collect from the coins allowed to collect from the estate is because the estate has a din of an arev. Now there's a Gemara, Maseches Ksuvos, in a lot of places in Shas, we learned Daf Peheim, Beis, and Ksuvos. The Gemara says if a person sells a shtar chov and then he's mochel that shtar chov to the lova, it's machel, the mechila works. It's unbelievable. Trick to pull off. I have a shtar chov, says someone owes me $1 million. It's due in a month from now. I need some cash now. So I sell it to Reuven, and I say, Reuven, give me $900,000 for this shtar chov, and the shtar chov that says Shimon owes me $1 million. Then I go to, right after I sell it to Reuven, I say, Shimon, I'm mochel. You don't have to pay me $1 million. I'm mochel the chov. So the Gemara says, mochel. It works. He doesn't owe him any money. Unbelievable trick you could play. So the Rishonim of their quote is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, the Rush in the ninth paragraph, Ksuba Simin Yod, as well as the Ra in Masech Ksuba Simin Dalar and Beis Bedape Arif, they quote from Rabbeinu Tam that Mechiras Shtaros is a Dinda Araisa. But there are really two Shibudim on the Lova over here. There's what's called the Shibud Aguf, his personal obligation, and then there's the Shibud Nechasim, the fact that all of his possessions are Meshubud to paying off this money. When you sell a Shtar, it can't be that you're transferring your Shibud Aguf, a personal obligation, because the Shibud Aguf doesn't have mamashos to it. It's not something that could be sold. It's not something that could be transferred. It's only that you're giving over the shibud nechasim. Now, nechseu devar inish in an arvin lay. That is an arev. So when your mocha, your shibud aguf, you still maintain. So when I sold Ruvain my shtarchov that Shimon owed me money, so I still have a shibud aguf. Shimon still has a shibud aguf toward me, but the shibud nechasim now goes toward Ruvain. So I sold the shibud nechasim. As soon as I'm mochel the shibud aguf, Mimela the Shiba Nechasim falls away. And that's what the Ran explains based on Rabbeinu Tam, that if, let's say, the Lova were to die in this situation, if the Lova dies, even though the Shiba Guf is not there anymore, the Shiba Nechasim would still be there. Now, why is that the case? Why do we assume if I'm Mochel my Shiba Guf, the Shiba Nechasim automatically falls away? But if the Shiba Guf goes away because the person dies, Shiba Nechasim does not go away. So the Ketzos explains so beautifully. He says it all goes back to the fact that Nechasim have a din of an Arev. What's the halacha by an Arev? If a person owes money and he has a cosigner, so if he's mochel that money, if he's mochel the money that he's owed, mele, the cosigner doesn't have to do anything. Cosigner is off the hook. The mechila gets the cosigner, the Shimon Nechasim is a cosigner. So the cosigner is off the hook. But if, let's say, the person who owes the money dies, and you can't get to him, you can't get the money from him because he's dead, so he left nothing, so what do? You go to the Arev, and the Arev is still chayv to pay you back. So it says it's all based on this line, that a Shiba Nechasim has a din of an Arev, it has a din of a cosigner, and that helps explain all of the dinim that the Rishonim talk about in Maseches Ksubos. Okay, so says the Gemara now, a second possible understanding of Shitas Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. Maybe we're talking about that the father died after 30 days, but we already said no, if he died after 30 days, then why, when the brothers subsequently divide the estate, are they off the hook? Then the estate already became chayiv. Why should they get off the hook from paying? Look, if there's plenty of money in the estate, then of course the Kohen is allowed to collect from the estate that the two brothers have divided. The father left over a grand total of 5 slaim in the estate. So what's the issue? So there are several steps over here. Number one, udkuli alma islu deravasi. Everyone must be assuming like Rav Asi, the Amr Rav Asi, ha'achin shechalku mechza yorshin u'mechza lekuchos. When brothers divide an estate, so the estate in its entirety was left to the two brothers, let's say. But when they divide the estate, so how do we view what each one is left with? Do we view it as they both own the entire estate, and then they bought from each other, they bought each other's portions out, and that's why I get field A, you get field B, I buy you out of field A, you buy me out of field B, and that's how it works, that we're considered like lekuchos? Or do you say, no, they're considered like yarshin, the father left it for them to divide, and however they divide it, that's what he meant to leave to each of the children. So when Reuven decides to take field A, and Shimon decides to take field B, it means that the father was Morish, Reuven field A, and Shimon field B. So Rav Asi says, I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's that we use Breira and we figure out that and we say the Mafreya, it's a Glei Milsel Mafreya, that the father was Morish field A to Reuven, field B to Shimon, or they have a din of Lekuchos. And therefore, I view it as half and half. We view it as half of field A, Reuven bought from Shimon, the other half of field A, Reuven was just Morish straight from his father. And the same with Shimon and field B, that we have to view it as a 50-50 because we're simply not sure how to view it. So that's one. That's the first thing we're assuming, that it's half Yerusha, half Lekuchos. Udukuli Alma, and everyone also must be assuming, Milva Ksuva B'Torah, Lav Ksuva B'Shtar Damya. When you owe money, because the Torah says you owe money, such as the Torah being Mechayiv you and Pidyon HaBen money, so that is considered like a Milva B'Shtar, a Milva Alpeh, not a Milva B'Shtar. It has the halachic bindingness of a Milva Alpeh, of a verbal loan, when I borrow money without the benefit of writing shtar, and therefore you can't collect with all of the chumras of a milva b'shtar, you can only collect as if it were a milva al peh. Fine. Step 3. Udukuli amlis udraf papa. Everyone must also assume like Rav Papa. Dam Rav Papa, milva al peh govmne yarshim noin govmne al kuchos. The halach is for a milva al peh, which we just said in step 2, Pidyon HaBen, has the status of a milva al peh, can only collect from Yarshin, can't collect from Lekuchos. Well, how much of this estate is Yarshin? How much is Lekuchos? Step 1 told us that it's 50-50. How much money was in this estate in total? A total of 5 slaim for Pidyon HaBen. So wait a second, but the Pidyon HaBen is only allowed to collect from half of the estate. The half that's Yarshin, not the half that's Lekuchos. So at most, the Kohen is going to be able to collect 2.5 slaim. Is there any such inyan of a Kohen collecting 2.5 slayim? That's exactly the machlokas over here. Is there a din of chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh? Rameir sover chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. Rameir says, you can't collect anything, because if you were to collect anything, you'd only be entitled to 2.5. And that's not the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. The mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is 5. So if you're only collecting 2.5, it's worthless. There's no, he's not getting the mitzvah. You're not being poda the child anyway. So mela, there's no din over here that you're able to collect anything. Rabbi Yehuda savar chamesh v'afilu chatzi chamesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, chamesh v'afilu chatzi chamesh. That you give whatever you can. If you can give chamesh, good, that's the best. If you can only give chatzi chamesh, then you only give chatzi chamesh. That must be the machlokas. Now, there is a major discussion in Achronim. We've discussed in the past. I wrote a 10-page article on this topic. Major discussion in Achronim about chatzi shir b'mitzvos. We know that there's such a thing as chatzi shir b'isurim. Let's say a person needs chatzi kezayis of a nevela. So we pass in chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. So what's the point of having a shir if a chatzi shir is asur min haTorah? Well, the shir is just for an onesh. You don't get an onesh when you eat a chatzi shir. But chatzi shir is asur min haTorah by isurim. But what about when it comes to mitzvos? So when the Torah says I have a mitzvah to eat a kezayis of matzah, if I have a half a kezayis of matzah, is there any point in eating a half a kezayis of matzah? Am I fulfilling, am I accomplishing anything if I don't have a full kezayis of matzah? Or is it an absolute zero if you don't do the full shear? So you say, well, what do you have to lose? Might as well just eat the half a kezayis of matzah. Of course, right? Nothing to lose. If that's all you got, you have nothing to lose. But what if I have one full kezayis of matzah and there are two people here, me and another Jew, two Jews, one kezayis of matzah? So what's best to do? Is it best for one of us to get the mitzvah and the other one not to get the mitzvah? Or should we divide it? Each of us will eat a half kezayis of matzah, and you'll say that it's a partial kiyum for each of us, so we're able to spread the mitzvah out a little bit. What do you say about a chatzi shir on a mitzvah? So the Tshuva's Beis Yitzchak brings a raya from here, in Or Chaim Simon Dalet Oz Gimel. He says that you could prove from our Gemara that there's no din of chatzi shir by a mitzvah. And if a person only has a chatzi shir of kezayis matzah or something like that, he has no chiv at all. Only when there's a shir shalim. Why? How can you prove that from here? Because if that were not the case, why would you be pater from giving chatzi chamesh? Even though it's true that the Torah is not mechayiv, is only mechayiv chamesh shlam gemurim, but just say that you should have to give chatzi chamesh midin chatzi shir. Why does Rav Meir say no chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh? What do you mean chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh? If all you got is chatzi chamesh, so give chatzi chamesh. So that's what the Tshuva's Beis Yitzchak says. But then he says no, maybe there's a difference. By a chatzi zayis matzah, you could say that there's a chiv to eat it and be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah. By pidyon haben, it's a goal-oriented mitzvah. Meaning matzah is a maisa-oriented mitzvah. You do the maisa of achilas matzah, good, you got the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Pidyon haben, the point is not to do the maisa of pidyon. The point is that the child should be niftes. That whatever you do, whatever chalos is on that child should be redeemed. If at the end of the day you didn't give 5 slime, the child's not redeemed. It only works with 5 slime. He's not niftes lemechza. There's no such thing as a child that's half redeemed. And therefore, the Torah is certainly not mechayev that you give half of the money. The yisod of the mitzvah nesina of chamesh slime is for the pidyon haben. Less than 5 slime, it's not any pidyon at all, and there would be no reason to give less than 5 slime. That's why he's docha the raya. However, in the Biri Adaf over here, he quotes from the Sefer Kapei Aharon. Sefer Kapei Aron Chelek Alef Or Chaim Simon Yud Beis from Harava Gon Rav Aron Azriel. I don't know who it is, but Sefer Kapei Aron says that over here we do have a raya that there's no mitzvah in chatzi shir. There's no din of chatzi shir in mitzvah say, and he wonders about all of the achronim that say that even pachas mikashir there is a mitzvah. You see clearly in our Gemara that it's not so. L'chora, there's another reason why you can't compare Pidyon HaBen to all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, to, let's say, a mitzvah like matzah. Because once Chazal darshan, they have a Kabbalah, they're going to darshan chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. So you can't say that chatzi chamesh is chatzi shir. If you darshan chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh, what you're saying is chatzi chamesh is a chatzi chefza shel mitzvah. It's not a chatzi shir. If you take an esrog and you cut it in half, does anyone hold that? Okay, so I'm getting a chatzi shir of an esrog. It's not a chatzi shir of an esrog. It's not a chefza shel esrog. It's not a chefza shel mitzvah. Chatzi shir, everyone agrees that half a kezayis of matzah is matzah.
Question is it a shir matzah? And the answer is no, it's not a shir matzah. So it's a chatzi shir. That's where you could talk about whether there's a chatzi shir by a mitzvah. But when it's a chatzi chefzeshel mitzvah, so even though 2.5 slum sounds like a chatzi shir, but once you have a drush of chamesh vul chatzi chamesh, the Torah is being megalit to you that it's not even a chatzi shir. That it's chatzi chefzeshel mitzvah. The chefzeshel mitzvah by pidyon haben is only when you have a shir shalim. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayta. One more point I wanted to make. We'll see if we have time at the end. Says so again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that chamesh rafil chatzi chamesh, you should even give half. Meaning the point is there is a chiv of pidyon haben that's a mutal on the estate. The problem is though that you can't really collect it from the parties because all you're going to get is chatzi chamesh from each of the parties. Meaning, assuming that there was only chamesh in total, so you're only going to be able to collect chatzi because half of the estate has din of lekuchos, half has din of yerusha. If the father would have left 10 slayim for his children, so then you would have been able to collect the whole thing. The chiv is absolutely there. So ihachi Rabbi Yudom and neschayv nuchasim. So when Rabbi Yudom wants to emphasize this point, why does he emphasize that the nechasim are chayiv? Neschayv gavra mi bayilei. His main point should really be neschayv gavra, that the person is chayiv. The nechasim are chayiv for sure. That's not the issue. The issue is the whole point of dispute between Rabbi and Rabbi Yudah is the nechasim are chayiv. Point is, do I have a chiv when I'm not going to be able to give the whole thing, or does the chiv go away if I'm not going to give the whole thing? That should have been his emphasis. Va'od tanya Rabbi Yudah merachin shchalku miyesh asar azuz lzeh v'asar azuz lzeh chayavim v'mlav peturin. Rabbi Yudah says, brothers divide an estate, if each one has 10 zuz, 10 zuz, Rashi points out very importantly, equals 2.5 slotim. If each one gets 2.5 slotim, then they're going to be chayiv in pidyon haben. If each one gets less than 2.5 slotim, they're not going to be chayiv. So maya sora zuz lezev, asora zuz lezev. What do we mean? Each of them gets 2.5 slotim. Ilema bein di yerusha bein di lekuchos v'chamish avil chatzi chamish. If he means to say that in total there were 5 slotim in the estate, and therefore there's and half of that has din of yerusha, half has din of lekuchos. Yachim mayu yasara filu batzim yasara nami. And Rabbi Yehuda is just trying to say that you'd still have to give a chatzi shir, that even chatzi chamesh you'd be chayiv in. Well, why does he have to give the example that each one gets 2.5 slotim? Say each one gets 1 sela, and then they'd each give half of that, and they did, so the kohen would get 1 full sela instead of 5 slotim. It would still be the same din. It's not a din in chatzi versus a fifth or a fourth or a third. It's a din, and you give whatever you can. So then you'd have to give why 10 slotim? What's the magic 2.5 slotim for each? El pshita must be asarzuz di Yerushalizev, asarzuz Yerushalizev. What we must be saying is that they get 2.5 slotim of Yerusha each, which means each of them really got 5 slotim, but 2.5 of what each of them got is lekuchos, has a din of lekuchos, the other 2.5 has a din of Yerusha. So each of them got 2.5 of Yerusha, and that's why they have to pay pidyon haben, because it's going to be a total of 5. What do you see from there? That even Rabbi Yehuda holds, if it's going to total less than 5, they don't have to give anything. So that's a raya against the answer that Rava gave. Alma chamish v'lo chatzi chamish v'irlei. Sounds like even Rabbi Yehuda holds chamish v'lo chatzi chamish. And the whole answer of Rava was that the nukudas machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda is, do you give chatzi chamish? And Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, you even give chatzi chamish. No, we have a beferish of Braisa that says, Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't give chatzi chamish. You only give pidyon haben when you can give the full chamish. So that brings us to answer number 3, the final answer to explain Rabbi Meir Shita in our Mishnah. El dekuli alma chamish v'lo chatzi chamish. Everyone agrees, pidyon haben is only when you give 5 slime. If you can give less than 5 slime, there's no mitzvah at all, and therefore, v'hacha b'dravasi v'rav papa k'miflagi. Over here, the machlokas is, do we accept Ravasi and Rav Papa? Meaning to say as follows, Rav Meir holds both Ravasi and Rav Papa are correct. Ravasi and Rav Papa were steps 2 and 3 in Rav's answer. Ravasi said that, or steps 1 and 2 rather. Ravasi said that when achin or cholik in a state, it's half Yerusha and half Lekuchos. Rav Papa was one that said that, steps 1 and 3 actually. Rav Papa was one that said that milval peh, you're gove from Yorshin and you're not gove from Lekuchos. Right, that a milval peh, which the pidyon haben has a status of, is gover from yarshin, not gover from lekuchos. So Meir holds both of those things are correct, and therefore you don't give. You're not going to be chayiv in pidyon haben in this case because it's only going to end up being chatzi chamesh. Rabbi Yehuda holds one of those things is incorrect. It doesn't matter which one. As soon as one of those things falls away, mela, there's going to be a chiyuv of pidyon haben. Meaning, let's say he holds Rav Asi is incorrect, where Rav Asi said it's half Yerusha, half Lekuchos, and you therefore can only collect from Yarshin, not from Lekuchos. Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, it's all Yerusha. And if it's all Yerusha, you can collect from the whole thing. You're not limited to collecting from half the estate, and that's why you're entitled to the full Chamesh Shlaim, which is the entire estate. Or maybe he holds, no, it's half Yerusha, half Lekuchos, but he holds a Milval Pekah Migoveh, unlike Rav Papa, from both Yarshin and Lekuchos. So mainly, you can collect from the whole estate, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. You're still Chayiv and Chamesh Shlaim. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Chamesh v'lo chatzi Chamesh. You're not going to collect if it's going to be any less than five Shlaim. And the entire estate is five Shlaim, but he happens to hold you could collect from the entire estate. That would be how to explain the Machlokas, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, that was one version of the whole conversation. Some have this whole conversation on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita of the Mishnah. I mean, we use Rabbi Meir as the starting point in the first version. Now we're using Rabbi Yehuda as the starting point. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said, if the father dies, nischayv v'nechasim. The nechasim already became chayiv, and no matter if the children already divided the estate, didn't divide the estate, they have to pay it. So the mis ha'avemas. When did the father die exactly? Ilim the mis la'achar shloshim v'chal d'rameir sarm kichol k'pturin hashtagdulu nichsei. If the father died after 30 days, so why would Rabbi Meir say that once they divide the estate, they don't have to pay? Once they divide the estate, they should have to pay. They're meshud, the nechasim are meshubud. Ela b'toch shlosh, must be that the father died within 30 days. Well, ki chalka, my mechayev Rabbi Yehuda. If the father died within 30 days, and they already divided the estate, so why does Rabbi Yehuda say that they're chayev to pay? Let them go try to collect from one son, and he'll say, no, the other guy's the b'char. Let them go to try to collect from the other one, he'll say, no, the first one is the b'char. They shouldn't be able to collect anything. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zosu Merish, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, Shoyu Birachas. Let's say you have two Yosef and Shimon, they live in one city, and one of them buys a field from the other one. One Yosef ben Shimon buys from the other one, and one of these Yosef ben Shimons, although we don't know which one, owes Reuven money, owes somebody money. So Reuven can go and collect from that field. Why? Because Reuven could say, if you're the one that owes me money, good, I'm taking your field. And if it's the Yosef ben Shimon who used to own this field that owes me money, well, guess what? There's a shibud on this field. And therefore you're like any other lekuchos, and I'm able to collect from this field. That's why he holds you're going to be chayiv. It's the same thing over here with the Yerusha, that the father died within 30 days. There's a shibud on the nechasim, so you can say, whoever it is, whichever way it works, if you're the one that's really the b'char, I'm taking yours, and otherwise I have a shibud. So Rava says, no, wait a second. The nechasim of a person are an arev, and we go back to that whole discussion. An arev you can't go to if you can't collect from the person himself. The Gemara says, etc. And, go through the whole rest of the... I don't know why the Gemara sometimes does that and sometimes actually fleshes it out. I'm not sure what, how Ravina and Ravashi decided when to include the whole conversation, when not to. But, okay, let's see the Mishnah. Let's see if we can try to get through it. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Nashim Shlo Bikru V'Yoldu Shnei Zecharim. Let's say you have two women. A man marries two women. None of them had children before. And each of them give birth to a baby boy. So Nasi Yitzlam L'Kalim. Pretty straightforward. He's Chayiv Pidyon HaBen for each of them. Meisach Man B'Tok Shoshim Yom. One of them dies within 30 days. Im lekohen echad nasan, if he gave to the same kohen all 10 slayim, yachzal chamish slayim, the kohen owes him back 5 slayim. Vim l'shnei kohanim nasan, but if he already gave the pidyon haben to two different kohanim, eni yachal hotzi miyadam, he's not going to be able to take back from either one of them because he doesn't know which kohen he gave the dead son's pidyon haben to. So they get tamotzi mechaver alav raya. Let's say he marries two women and they both give birth, zachar unikeva, one to a male, one to a female. O shnei zacharim unikeva, or one of them has twins, the other one has a single birth, and they don't know who gave birth to who, but there are two males and one female. No sin chamish shlam l'kohen. Then he for sure has one bechor in the mix, so he's got to give 5 shlam to a kohen. Shtei nekevos v'zachar, but if there are two females and one male, o shnei zachar m'shtei nekevos, so two females and two male children, ain't kal l'kohen klum, the kohen doesn't get anything, because as far as he knows, all of the firstborns from both women were females, so he wouldn't have to give anything to the kohen. Achas bikra v'achas shelo bikra. Let's say he marries two women, one who's had a child before, one who hasn't had a child before. V'yoldu shnei zecharim, and they give birth to two males. So one of them already had a child before. It's not going to be chayiv in pidyon ben, but one of them is chayiv. Nosim chamish shlam lekohen. Meisechad, and again, all these cases are you can't identify whose child is whose. You don't know anything. Meisechad mehem b'tok shloshim yom. One of these children, maybe the bechor, maybe not. We have no idea. Dies within 30 days, ha'av pater. The father's going to be pater from Pidyon HaBen, because I'm motzi mechavera lavaraya. Meis ha'av ha'banim kayamim. Let's say the father dies, but the children are still alive. So Rameir Omer, this should sound familiar. Im nasnu ad shelo chilku nasnu. If they already paid it before they divided the estate, good. V'im lav paturin. If they didn't, then they're going to be pater, because again, you're not going to be able to collect from either one of them. Because either one could say, I'm not the bechor. Rabbi Yudomer nischayv v'nuchasim, the nuchasim already became chayiv. Zachar nekeva in kan lekoyin klum. A man marries two women, one who's already had a child, one who never had a child, and now they give birth, and one of them gives birth to a male, one to a female, and they don't know who gave birth to who. Kohen doesn't get anything because he can't prove that there's a male firstborn in the mix. Shtei nashim shel shnei nashim shelo bikru. Let's say you have two men married two different women, that and neither of these women had a child before. V'yoldu bezacharim, and each one has a baby boy. Zenos and chamish shlam kohen, zenos and chamish shlam kohen. Each one has to give five shlam to a kohen. Meisach and meimtok shloshim. One of them dies within 30 days. Im the kohen echad nasu yaksalem chamish shlam. If they gave the pidyon haben to the same kohen, the kohen's got to give back five shlam and let them figure it out. Let them divide. The fathers divide it amongst themselves. Im l'shnei kohanim nasu, they gave it to two kohanim. You're not going to be able to take anything from them. Zachrin Akeva, they gave birth to a male and a female. Ha'avos Pturin, the fathers are going to be pater because they could say maybe the female child is my child. Each one could say the female child is their child. But Vaben Chayiv Lifto Satsma, but the baby boy knows that he's a Bechar. He just doesn't know who his mom is. But he knows he's a Bechar, so he's going to be Chayiv to be pater himself when he grows up. Shenikev Zachar, Shenikev Shnei Zachar, if there are two baby girls in the mix, in Kan Lekoyin Klum, the coin gets nothing. Let's say two men marry two women, one who's had a baby before, one who's never had a baby before, and they give birth to two baby boys. The one whose wife never had a baby before gives five shlam to a kohen. If they give birth to a boy and a girl, then the kohen gets absolutely nothing, because the one who had a baby before is the one that gave birth to a baby boy, and therefore there's no chiyuv of pidyon haben. We'll start with the Gemara tomorrow.